This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, you can do so by regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Remember, this program can be re-listened to on the website, and there's a weekly meditation there, as well as other information that you might find helpful. So if you want those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at Peter, one of the prominent members of the foundation of the Christian faith. We've looked at Old Testament worthies, and we've been looking at those in the New Testament, and this study of Peter has been extremely helpful to me. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, that I identify with Peter because he was real, but he did make mistakes. And I identify with Thomas. We often call him Doubting Thomas, but really he was Honest Thomas. And so we see that the disciples of the Lord, disciples that became apostles, that is, they were the sent ones, they had their difficulties just as we do. But as we look at them, we find out that those difficulties molded them into something that the Lord could really use. And with Peter, we've looked at his life as a fisherman and how he was called from the occupation of fishing to follow the Lord. We've looked at how he has had this truth revealed to him that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, when he was called to be a fisher of men, that meant he was called to be an evangelist. But then we've moved on and we find out that the Lord told him that he would deny him. And we've looked at that denial and how that it was different from Judas's betrayal. And as we've looked at that denial, we realize that he failed the Lord. And we noted last time how that in his failure, he went out and he wept bitterly. But now, after the resurrection of the Lord, the fellowship between Peter and the Lord is restored, and he moves from being a fisherman to being a shepherd. A fisherman usually is associated with evangelism, and a shepherd is associated with the care of the flock of God. And because of Peter's failures, I personally believe because of Peter's failures, he was molded into one of the great shepherds of the church. That didn't mean that he didn't do evangelistic work, because he did. He was given the keys to the kingdom in Matthew chapter 16. And it seems as though those keys were keys that opened the door of the gospel first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So he was always an evangelist. And even in his shepherd epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, you see his emphasis on the truth of the gospel. He never gets far away from that. Paul never got far away from that. They always emphasize that basic foundation of the truth of the gospel. And in Peter's case, he emphasizes it as a new birth, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But before he could become this shepherd of the sheep, he had to be restored to the Lord because of his denial of the Lord. It wasn't what we would call normally a moral sin, although I suppose all sin is moral in a sense. But it was a problem where he had boasted that though all men would forsake the Lord, yet he would never forsake him. That though others were stumbled because of the Lord, yet he would never be stumbled. And yet, after he said that, it was just a little while before he stood at a fire and watched the Lord being falsely accused, and realized that there was trouble laying it, the Lord was going to be in trouble for who he was and what he had proclaimed. And instead of standing with the Lord and saying, yes, I'm one of his, he had denied that he knew the Lord, and he denied it in such a way that even his speech would not betray him as a Galilean, because he didn't want to be identified with the Lord. And as soon as he had done what he knew he shouldn't do, he went out the Lord turned and looked on Peter, and he went out and he wept bitterly. But we find out that after the resurrection, the Lord had his eye on Peter, and he wasn't willing to let him flounder, you might say. He wanted to be able to use him. He had a plan for him, and he wanted to be able to use him. So when we come to the story having to do with his restoration, we find out that in Luke chapter 20 or Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33, we find out that Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all men were to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. And that sets the stage for his denial of the Lord, which we've looked at then last time, where the Lord turned and looked on Peter. But notice that, I suppose, in a sense, he was boasting of his own faithfulness. And all of us need to recognize that in the right circumstances, we can all fail. Not only fail the Lord, fail our families, fail our friends. We can all do that. But the difference between a Judas and a Peter is that Peter realized what he had done. In Judas's case, it almost appears that he realized what he had done, but I believe Judas only realized he had been caught. And so when it says he repented himself, he wished he hadn't done what he did because he'd been caught, but I don't think he ever really realized the gravity of his betrayal of the Lord. And so we come to Luke 24 and verse 34, and we find out that there is in Luke 24 two people who are traveling on their way to Emmaus, and the Lord meets them and begins to talk to them, and ultimately they realize that they're talking to the Lord himself. And so they go to the 11 in Jerusalem, and they say, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And so the Lord had already appeared personally to Simon. It's almost as though he's the first one the resurrected Lord sought out after Mary Magdalene. Now, she's the first one who saw the Lord after his resurrection in the garden. She thought she was, if you'll remember, she thought she was seeing the gardener. He had been so disfigured. But when he said her name, then she realized she was talking to the resurrected Lord. And it's interesting how all of these people who had accompanied with the Lord and had heard him say that he must go to Jerusalem and that he must suffer there, he had told them all these things. They couldn't grasp it. And so now the truth is being revealed to them in a very personal way. So the Lord had appeared to Mary Magdalene, and now apparently he appeared to Simon. And so we read about that in Luke chapter 24. The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, and that's what the 11 are saying in that upper room. And then we come to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5, and we read apparently a recap of that same thing when we begin to look at the witnesses of the resurrection. Paul records that he was seen by Cephas, which is Peter, and then by the 12. And so there was a meeting with Peter, a personal private meeting. But then there's a third meeting. The first meeting with Peter is this one that I'm referring to. And then there's a second meeting where they all meet together in the upper room, perhaps on two different occasions. But now we're going to come to a third meeting where the Lord meets Peter and where we can see him formally restored to the fellowship of the Lord, and where we see him recommissioned, just as Jonah was recommissioned, was given a second chance, we might say. The same thing happened with Peter. We may make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we're useless. Sometimes those mistakes are what the Lord uses to make us into something that he can use in a special way. Now, that doesn't justify making mistakes, but the Lord is always one step ahead of us. So John 21 and verse 15, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, you'll remember, in this story, Simon Peter had gone fishing with others from that August apostolic group, and while they were fishing that night, they had caught nothing, and then the Lord appears on the shore and tells them to cast in their net, and they catch a large group of fish, and after they've caught it, brought it to shore, the Lord feeds them breakfast. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. Notice now we're talking about sheep. We're not talking about fishing. Now the question is, do you love me more than these? Is that referring to loving the Lord more than the other disciples, or is it referring to loving the Lord more than he loves fishing? And there's a lot of discussion amongst commentators on that. My personal conviction is that he was saying that he was being asked to confess his sin because he had said that he, though all men were stumbled or because of the Lord, yet he would not be stumbled. He would be willing to die for the Lord. And he had failed on that point. So I think the question is, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But now the Lord is saying, Lord, you have charity for me. And you have to know the original language to gather what I'm saying here. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I'm fond of you. He would not use the word charity, because that would imply that he would have been willing to die for the Lord even if everybody else had forsaken the Lord. And he said again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you have charity for me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I am fond of you. And he said, feed my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, are you really fond of me? The Lord now changes what he says. And Peter was grieved because he said the third time, are you fond of me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. Notice that. Lord, you know all things. You know that I'm fond of you. I'm your friend. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And what I like about this is that the Lord draws a confession out of him, but he doesn't rub his nose in what he has done. And so he recommissions him to feed and attend the lambs, the young and the sheep, those that are a little older. And that's a very necessary work in the church of God today. And then he tells him how he's going to die. And he says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And we find out that ultimately Peter was crucified just like the Lord was, only because of the way in which he had failed him, he would not allow himself to be crucified the way the Lord was crucified, but tradition tells us he was crucified upside down. Peter really did love the Lord. He was willing to confess his fault, and he was willing to be recommissioned and to do the Lord's will. That doesn't mean he didn't make mistakes after this. He did. There's one that's recorded in the epistles by Paul, but nevertheless, we find out that he was much a man who was much used by God, even though he had denied the Lord three times. Friend, if you're saved, take courage. The Lord still loves you, and the Lord can still use you. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.